Welcome to We a Human First. I'm Dr. Paula Kleiger, and I'm joined once again by my daughter, Sarah Kleiger, who's a licensed creative artist and a registered drama therapist. Today, we're going to spend some time continuing to talk about the issues around trauma and the impact of trauma related to the pandemic and all kinds of issues centered around social justice and race and so forth that have also come to the forefront. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be here.
So I guess what we'd like to try to talk a little bit more about today, we started talking about trauma in general and relationship to the pandemic, but I think you and I wanted to get into a conversation around the differences in generations, how you and I are coming from different generational times with regard to significant life events. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who have been following We Are Human First, you know perhaps that I've talked about one of the main principles in the self-study model is the power of significant life events, right, to shape who we are and who we become. Let's start with your thoughts, Sarah. How are you experiencing, or what are some of the significant life events from your life that you believe have helped to shape who you are today?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting to think back on all of these major events in my own life, whether it's been getting into college or losing a family member, but then really thinking about the bigger events that have affected the whole world or the whole country. And one major event that really sticks out for me is 9/11. I was actually a freshman in high school when 9/11 occurred. And I, you know, that was just an event that really just sticks out to me in terms of really the first time I felt a huge amount of fear for not only myself, but just for the country and the world. And I just felt like I didn't realize how much was going on in the world until that happened. And I think I've really held on to some of those feelings that I had during that experience.
What were your friends and so forth? What did you guys find yourselves talking about and sharing during that time?
Well, it's interesting because at first, when it was still going on in the moment, there were so many questions of almost questioning what was actually happening or questioning that it was really happening. You know, is this really happening right now?
Is this real?
Yeah, is this real? And growing up, I didn't grow up in New York, so I wasn't there. So I'm sure it would have been even more impactful if I was physically in the city when it was happening. But I had traveled there quite a bit. And I felt like most of my friends who had also been to New York felt this extreme sadness and worry for the people that were right there, right where it was happening. And so it was first this kind of questioning if this was real, and then finally saying, oh, what about all those people? Because it's such a busy, populated city. So that was kind of the thought process that we were having.
You know, it's interesting, and I'll stay with that. I know for myself that I remember very specifically the morning that it happened, 9/11 happened, and the planes drove into the World Trade Center, one after the other. And I actually was doing treatment with people at the time. And like you said, it was so shocking for a very long time, much of the day, it was hard to imagine it actually happened. Mm-hmm. It seemed so surreal that something like that would occur. So maybe one of the things that we're getting at, that significant life events that are traumatizing in particular, one of the characteristics is that the experience is surreal or it is unexpected. It shatters existing beliefs.
Mm-hmm. And it really kind of affects, you can really see, I mean, how much was changed after that one event too. I mean, look at how you fly now, you know, airports, how security is and how you used to be able to go through security and drop someone off at the gate. And after that, you know, that was obviously changed. Or even that's when things started shifting in schools as well, in terms of how we protect the students in schools. So I really think it's interesting to look at one event and how things are having to shift from that one event.
So it's not just individuals that have to shift, a whole society around the world.
Exactly.
Shifted. I mean, we had to shift here in the United States, but everywhere shifted as a result of that.
Yes, exactly.
So let me share an experience. So I was able to experience 9/11 with you, given my age. But the event that a significant life experience that I would bring to mind for us to talk about is my exposure to the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
I am, I guess, what you describe as a baby boomer. And as a musician, I wasn't always a psychologist. I got this great gig that I was able to go and sing in South Vietnam. And that was a very profound experience. I have to say, it wasn't traumatizing necessarily for me, although it was traumatizing for the soldiers and their families and so forth. And even for years later, which is what I think I wanted to really talk a little bit about, my life was completely changed as a result of that experience. I loved singing for the soldiers, but I learned something about life and death that was so profound, that when your life is at stake, you really do make different kinds of choices. The small things don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships matter. Being close to another human being and taking care of their life matters. And I, at that point in time, I literally changed my major from music, a music major. I became a minor in music and I majored in psychology. Now, that experience was so powerful. And if I don't know how many people know, but 50,000 plus soldiers died as a result of the Vietnam War. And years later, we are still talking about it. And it took until about 20 years, just 20 years ago, when we actually started using the term post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
To help people who've suffered from wars and other significant life events, traumatizing events. We've come up with that particular diagnostic term. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think it shows how important it is to really acknowledge that people who have experienced a trauma like the Vietnam War, or even if it's something that's not a war, but something maybe a family member experienced something like that, that we are still holding on to the trauma. It lives in our bodies in many different ways. And so I think the importance of naming that and normalizing that experience can be healing in the end for our communities as well.
You know, you raise such an important point, because, you know, the work that you and I do with people that we know suffer from various trauma, we know that it mind, body, emotions hold on to it all. But a second very important characteristic of managing trauma is to normalize it, to appreciate the fact that what someone is feeling and thinking and experiencing, if it was a real trauma, it's normal. The reactions are likely to be normal.
Right. And, you know, that kind of speaks to what we were talking about in our last episode around the importance of coming together and kind of being validated in each other's experiences and seeing that other people are experiencing something similar. And I think that speaks to the same thing, that if we are continue to be validated and normalized, then there's almost like a grounding experience that happens, that you can kind of feel a little bit more grounded in knowing that it is okay to feel the way you're feeling.
So let's take our conversation, you and I, to the present time.
Mm-hmm.
How are millennials experiencing this coronavirus and all these racialized tensions and so forth? What are you hearing? What are you experiencing?
I think there's a lot of, once again, at the beginning at least, and still now, that questioning is happening. Like, is this really happening? Is this still happening? And also this kind of experience of now that people have had to kind of slow down their schedules and work from home, some people lost their jobs, people had to go on unemployment. It's kind of forced people to slow down and really think about what they want to prioritize in their lives. And many of my friends and even colleagues have talked about maybe wanting to make career changes, or they want to just do a lot more self-discovery and self-inquiry, especially in regards to the racial justice and social justice issues that are coming up. And also reevaluating relationships that people are having with one another. I think a lot of people are realizing, especially since we can't socialize as much, they're really seeing the people that they want to continue to build relationships with versus the people that really haven't served them well, or maybe just they're not the right fit in terms of having an ongoing relationship with.
So you're finding that people are more self-reflective.
Yes, yes, and definitely.
Spending. Do you find that they're feeling relatively comfortable in that journey, or they're having a hard time sitting with certain realities?
You know, that's a really good question, because I do really think that some people are struggling with that almost. It's a loss. It is a loss to have to say, to let go of certain people in our lives or a career or, you know, moving to a different city if people want to leave a city. So I think there's that sense of loss that many people are having. And because of that, they're struggling with the idea that, you know, they are going to be making these shifts. But I do at the same time see them feeling that it is the right thing. It is the right time to make those transitions for themselves.
So you're raising another really great, important point, and that is a sense of loss, that anything that's a major crisis or significant life event, a pivotal life event or trauma, nearly always involves a sense of losing what was familiar.
Absolutely.
Even if it's not good.
Absolutely. In order to make room for something else, you do have to let go of something.
Exactly. So this notion of loss and being able to embrace what is going on now is a very powerful new step that can be transformational, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in terms of your experience with people, I'm not seeing anything different with my generation. It's so fascinating, but actually people are finding friends that they have not seen, for example, for decades, are showing up on Facebook or contacting them. If someone has had a dream to do something, maybe they've done a very conventional job for a long time, they're suddenly becoming more self-reflective and saying, wait a minute, I think I can spend a little more time doing this other thing. And so they're reprioritizing, as you said, what's important because of having to let go of what's familiar and routine. And in my generation, you got years of routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, can be very kind of scary, you know, and I'm sure from your angle, you probably feel, wow, you know, I'd like to have more routine.
Yes, definitely.
So maybe the issue for a millennial would be, boy, I would love to have a little more stability going in my life.
And there still is a fear as well, I think, in terms of, the stability definitely is there, the wanting of a stability, but also because of what's going on and all these unknowns, there is that fear. There's the fear of, am I going to be able to eventually have that stability, have that routine, have a good job where I can take care of myself? And then also the fear of our family members, our older family members, staying healthy and not getting sick. We want them to stay healthy. The fear is that they will get sick. And I think that's another experience that many people my age are definitely coping with right now.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I think sometimes people in my generation, or even maybe a little bit younger, we're not really tuned into how our young people are struggling with, you know, worried about our safety. I know that you've been regarding me and your dad and your fuss budget about it. But I think that I've been hearing that from a lot of young people who feel that the older generation, we take risks at times. Is that what you're also picking up on?
Definitely. It's really interesting because you should listen to some of the conversations that I have with some of my friends. And we all have the same conversation with our parents. We're all making sure that our parents are wearing their masks, not really going anywhere. Don't go in any store unless you really need to. And washing your hands all the time. And there's a lot of anxiety when I hear myself and my friends speak about that. And I think it is this sense of, I don't know if it's a sense of that we think our parents or our grandparents like to take more risks, but I think it's the very first time we're being faced with the possibility of losing our family members too soon, quote unquote, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is something that can obviously bring our anxiety way up.
It's so, so helpful to hear you say that out loud. And I'm thinking that you out in our audience can really connect and relate to that as well. And I must say, before, you know, we close this particular episode, because of Sarah's influence, and also, you know, a number of the people that you and I've been working with from cross generations, I've become much more conscious of my responsibility to be the healthiest I can be, to engage in real self-care for myself, but also for you and for others, for others. Right?
Yes. Yeah. I think this experience has really hopefully taught most of us that it is important to practice self-care and to stay healthy, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just so wonderful being able to sit and talk with you all, Sarah and I together, about the impact of significant life events, in particular from our past, and how that relates to how we're responding today. We're looking forward to talking again. We're going to be bringing up another really interesting topic next time, right? Any final thoughts, Sarah?
No, just thank you so much for having me again.
Thank you. Once again, we are Human First. I'm Dr. Paula Kleiger, and I've been joined by my daughter, Sarah Kleiger, who's a licensed creative arts therapist and a registered drama therapist. We look forward to talking to you again really soon. Take care. Stay safe. Bye-bye.